जन वल्लभा गिरिवार धारी यशोरनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन जय राधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओं विष्णुपाद धर्महंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमानचरण भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस श्री श्रीमान श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती प्रभुपाद ठाकुर की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की जय। ऑगोरिस्तीय समुद्र बोरिस टू श्री गुरु इन गौरंग ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ब्रह्मोवाच सम्यक् करुण पश्येदम् वत्सते विचिकित्सितम् यद् अहं चोरितः सौम्या भगवद्वीर्यदर्शने सम्यक् करुण पश्येदम् वत्सते विचिकित्सितं यदहं चोरिता सौम्या भगवद्वीर्यदर्शने सम्यक् करुणि कश्येदं वत्सते विचिकित्सितं यादहं चोरिता सौम्या यादहं चोरिता सौम्या
भगवद्गीर्यदर्शने
So I'll read the translation before we do the word-for-word translation. Lord Brahma said, "My dear boy Narada, being merciful to all, including me, you have asked all these questions because I have been inspired to see into the prowess of the Almighty Personality of Godhead." So going back to the word-for-word translation, Brahma Uvacha. Lord Brahma said, Samyak, perfectly. So where do we know this word Samyak from? Anybody? Okay, there's one point. Well, Prabhupada usually...
Samyak Sanskrit says Samyak is complete.
Complete, yeah.
That's the word Sanskrit.
Perfectly. Oh, okay. That's one. Yeah, I just thought I'd throw it out there. Usually Prabhupada will say Samyak Kirtan. Yeah, so Sankirtan means the complete, perfect form of kirtan, which is involving everybody. Samyak Kirtan. Anybody ever noticed Prabhupada saying that before?
Yeah.
Anybody? No?
Yeah.
He has. Anybody else? No. Okay. Anyway, Pushkar confirms it. Prabhupada has said that. Probably look it up. Samyak Kirtan. Sankirtan. So Samyak is perfectly, and then look at this next word. Karunikasya. Of you who are very kind. So you put the two words together. Samyak Karunikasyedam. Idam means this. Okay, idam. This. So, samyak karunikasyedam. So what you're doing right now is samyak. It's perfectly karuna of you who are very kind. This is the perfection of your kindness. He really likes all of the questions. Prabhupada's going to bring that up in the purport, that devotees like it when there are questions. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, first chapter, is questions. Second chapter begins with Sutta Goswami saying, these are really good questions. Recite the verse. Okay. That's in second canto. We'll get into that one. Second chapter. First canto. Munyo Sada Prishto Hum. Yakrita Krishna Samprasno Yenatma Suprasidati. And discussions like this, Suprasidati. Prasidati means make you satisfied, yeah. There's makes you happy, and then you put Su in front of it. Then, yeah, it's almost like Samyak Prasidati, perfectly happy. So when you discuss these kinds of things, then it will make you completely happy. So that's going on in chapter 2, the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Then again, later on, there's some questions. We'll get to that later. Vyasadeva's questions to his guru, Narada. But you brought up, beginning of second canto, Varyan Eshate Prashna. Kritaloke. Okay. What was the second line? Kritaloke.
Kritaloke satisfies, does benefit for the whole world.
Benefits the whole world. So this is a recurring theme in the Srimad Bhagavatam already in the second canto, and it's going to continue all the way through. Lots and lots of questions and answers. Okay, so we got through the first line. Samyak karunikasyedam. So, vatsa. All right, let's go to that. Vatsa. My dear boy. Te. Your. Vichikitsitam. Inquisitiveness. So vatsa, that's an interesting word. What does vatsa mean? Calf. Yeah, what else?
Deer, you know, boy.
Deer, like darling, my dear boy. And
Vatsalya
Ras, that's, you knew what I was getting at. Okay. Vatsalya Ras, just the love that parents have for their children. So Brahma addresses him here as Vatsa, my dear son. Later on, the next line, he's going to use another word, Soumya, which is translated as, O gentle one. And then in the next verse, he's going to address him as Bho, O my son. And then later on, in a couple more chapters, he's going to address him as Tata, which means, again, like my dear son. So Brahma's got a lot of affection for Narada with these questions. And that's brought out here in the Sanskrit. Three times, three words are used in two verses. As soon as Brahma starts speaking, he's addressing him, Vatsa, Soumya, Bho, Tata. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses the same word, Tata, when he's speaking to Arjuna. When Arjuna has a question, anyone besides Pushkar? Really? Give you a hint. Chapter 6. Let's see. Nahi kalyana krit kaschid yurgatam tata gacchati. Yep. So Arjun has some questions, and this is, so I was thinking that there's a lot of different kinds of questions. We have rhetorical questions, like suppose I were to ask a question, it's just a rhetorical question. Sometimes we have interrogating questions, like what were you doing yesterday? And then there are questions like, yeah, you're asking, but you just doubt they know what's going on. And then there's questions that keep you awake at night because they're weighing on you so heavy. I wish someone had the answer to this. I'm really suffering. I really need help with fixing the microphone stand. Or when someone's going through a health crisis, and you go to a doctor, and the doctor's telling all kinds of things, and you're wondering, does this guy know what he's talking about? But you're listening, and you're kind of filtering through it, like, that sounds right. This sounds really, I don't know. I don't know if I could follow this. And then you get another doctor, you get another opinion, and you get another opinion. Finally, you find someone that you really trust. And that's what Bhagavatam is about. When you find someone you really trust. Narada looks up to Brahma. Brahma knows what he's talking about. Nagaraj brought that up yesterday in the class, and all of the questions were, part of Narada's questions are, you know everything. You've got everything in your hand, just like you can hold a walnut. So Narada has faith in the speaker, and this kind of discussion is called samvad. There are different levels of conversation, different levels of discussion. Samvad means there's a clear authority that knows everything, and the student is listening, taking those instructions. They're not questioning. It's like whatever you say. In 1967, when Prabhupada was in San Francisco for just a few days, he's giving lectures, and in one of those lectures, he said, the guru, you should accept the words of the guru. Your mind, you should come to the guru with your mind like a blank slate, and you hand the guru the chalk and say, you write whatever you want on here. It was shocking, Prabhupada saying that to a handful of hippies in San Francisco in 1967. This was like his opening presentation. This is what a guru is. And like for them, that's the only guru they know. And so he's pretty much saying, you just blank everything out. You hand me the chalk and tell me what to write on your mind. I'm going to tell you how to think. And so when you're in a desperate situation, if your health is failing, you go to a doctor, and the doctor is like telling you, you need to do this. And It sounds extreme, but you're putting your faith in this doctor. We recite Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhyena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So this is about almost like cataract surgery. A shalaka is a surgical instrument meant for applying the anjana to the eyes. So if you got someone working on your eyes, that's you got to have some faith in that person. And to blank all your thoughts out, as Prabhupada said, and hand the guru the chalk and say, here, you tell me what to think. That requires some faith. It's not like you have any reservations at all. So Narada is looking up to Brahma, and let's see, in the Mangalartik we sing that in all the scriptures it says the Guru is to be seen as non different from Lord Hari. Sakshad Hari Dvena Samasta Shastra Uktastata Bhavyata Eva Sadhvi Kintu Prabhurya Priya Eva Tasya Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. So Narada is seeing his father, his guru, as good as God. But then he's questioning, because Brahma really looks just like God. And the next verse is going to... So we'll wait till then to discuss that. All right, let's get through the word-for-word translation. Yadaham chodita somya. So, yad... Sorry, keeping everybody... Okay, please repeat. Yat? By which?
By which?
Aham?
Myself.
Chodita?
Inspired.
Somya?
O
gentle one.
Bhagavat?
Of the personality of Godhead.
Virya?
Prowess?
Darshani?
In the matter of? So, your te vichikitsitam, your inquisitiveness, yat, by which aham, myself, chodita, that inspires me, O gentle one, bhagavat, of the personality of Godhead, virya, prowess, darshane, in the matter of. So you're inspiring me to meditate on the prowess of Bhagavad, of the Lord. But the translation comes out a little differently. So we'll read the translation again. Lord Brahma said, my dear boy Narada, being merciful to all, including me. So that's the samyak karuni kashyedam. So being merciful to everyone, including me, you have asked all these questions because I have been inspired to see into the prowess of the Almighty Personality of Godhead. So I'm not sure what he means that I'm inspired to see the prowess, so therefore you're asking me, or you're asking me and that's inspiring me to see into that. The purport kind of looks like the second understanding. The verse looks like the first. So we'll just say it's both.
What we see doesn't say because, it says, and you have asked all these questions and thus inspired me to see. This
translation.
What
does your different opinions now. What?
Editing is required.
Yes, well, this is the newer book.
This is latest.
This one's later?
Yes, it's later. Well, this is the online version.
What do you mean newer? What year is that?
Yeah, this is the, let's see. First printing in India, 2000 copies, 1995. Ah. I see. Okay. Yep. Got it. Okay. Thank you. Glad you noticed that. So for those online, the updated translation is, my dear boy Narada, being merciful to all, including me, you have asked all these questions and thus inspired me to see into the prowess of the Almighty Personality of Godhead. Thank you. Okay, so going into the purport. Brahmaji, being so questioned by Naradaji, congratulated him, for it is usual for the devotees to become very enthusiastic whenever they are questioned concerning the Almighty Personality of Godhead. That is the sign of a pure devotee of the Lord. Such discourses on the transcendental activities of the Lord purify the atmosphere in which such discussions are held, and the devotees thus become enlivened while answering such questions. It is purifying both for the questioners and for one who answers the questions. The pure devotees are not only satisfied by knowing everything about the Lord, but are also eager to broadcast the information to others, for they want to see that the glories of the Lord are known to everyone. Thus the devotee feels satisfied when such an opportunity is offered to him. This is the basic principle of missionary activities. So, I've got a question. What is the basic principle of missionary activities?
Practice and preach.
Practice and preach, okay.
You want to know more details? Five days.
According to what was just written here, what we just read. Glories of the Lord are known to everyone. Thank you. That was it. And then, it says that. And then the next sentence says, thus the devotee feels satisfied when such an opportunity is offered to him. This is the basic principle of missionary activities. So I'm taking both of those sentences, but the first one that you brought up, I'll read that. The pure devotees are not only satisfied by knowing everything about the Lord, but are also eager to broadcast the information to others, for they want to see that the glories of the Lord are known to everyone. Thus, the devotee feels satisfied when such an opportunity is offered to him. So that's all we ask for, is an opportunity to find someone. This is the basic principle of missionary activities. So we all know what to say when people ask, who's Krishna? What's this all about? But we see there are some devotees who enjoy so much the activity of answering questions that they put themselves in a situation where people will come up and ask those questions. That is, I can guarantee, it's 95% of the work in going out and preaching. It's just getting everything all set up so someone will come up and ask, what's this all about? What's the purpose of life? Does life have a purpose? And when you hear that, then you're like, oh, yeah, this is a good question. I'm really glad. Thank you for being so thoughtful. And no matter, even if the question really seems like a dumb question, and sometimes they are, whatever it is, you want to congratulate them and say, I can tell you're really inquisitive, and this is good. You got to find the good in there and fan that little spark. And even if they come in with all kinds of misconceptions, and they ask a question that shows they're totally coming from somewhere way off track, how can we expect them to know what's what? They're coming from anywhere. And even if they've been reading the books for a long time, they have some misunderstanding. Always encourage them. That's a wonderful question. And then, usually the way I do it is I ask them, well, what do you think? And let them start speaking. And even if it's way off track, I'll just say, that's a really thoughtful answer. And then I'll try to throw it back to them. What you're saying is this. And then I'll kind of tweak it a little bit to bring it a little closer to what we have here in the Bhagavatam. And usually they'll just say, oh, yeah, that's what I really meant to say. Because usually what happens, if you think of your first day in the temple, the first time you met devotees, they talk a whole bunch of stuff, and while you're hearing it, it just sounds wonderful, but you don't remember any of it the next day. All you're going to remember are the things that you said. And the questions that you asked, that's what you're going to hold on to. And so when I'm talking to people, I try to give them that. So questions. This is all about questions. Brahma's saying, thank you for the questions. Question marks, they're like hooks. As soon as there's a question, as soon as someone says, can I ask a question? They've got your attention. And then they can go on and on and on, and they can talk about this topic, they can give like five or six different topics. And then and you're just waiting. Well, where's the question? And you're paying attention because it's a question. So that's why when we speak to people, we like to ask them questions, get them to probe. If you have psychological problems, you're sad about something, you go to a therapist or just a devotee that knows about these things, they don't immediately start giving answers. They start asking you some probing questions. And those question marks, all those little hooks, you know, if you just have periods or exclamation points, they don't really hold on to anything but a question mark. As soon as you see that, as soon as you hear it, it grabs into you. So a whole bunch of question marks go down deep inside of you and pull out, you know, whatever it is that's bothering you that you're not even aware of. And same thing here. Brahma is saying that you have asked all these questions. You're asking these questions as samyak karuna kasyedam. This is complete kindness. Asking all of these questions. You're benefiting everyone, including myself. Yadaham chodita somya bhagavad virya darshane. Because these questions... Okay. How's the verse go? Can you scroll down so I'll read the... thus inspired me to see into the prowess of the Almighty Personality of Godhead. So when people ask us questions, then we start speaking, and then you'll find yourself speaking things that you didn't even know that you knew, because the questions are so good. Those question marks go in and they hook all of that stuff you've been hearing in a Srimad Bhagavatam class for the last 40, 50 years, and all the things that you've read, and all of the thoughts that you've thought and considered while you're trying to sleep at night, and you can't sleep because you're pondering Narada Muni, asking questions to Lord Brahma. So this is the basic principle of missionary activities, feeling an attraction for questions and discussions about Krishna, and going out of our way to induce people to ask questions. And let me just see, I took a few notes. And the questions were about Krishna's creation and just the nature of creation itself. I was with one of those home programs a few years ago, back when the world was innocent and we could all meet, a lot of people packed into a room together and nobody worried about it. And there was, this group had a lot of 12, 13, 14-year-old boys who, that's like the age where they can be really annoying and obnoxious. And there was one who was really obnoxious in particular. He was learning to play the clarinet. He was really good at it. And he was playing it in the kirtan, which was sounding good. But while they were serving out prasad, and it's usually a really noisy scene anyway at those home programs, he got his clarinet case, and he would shake it really hard so the handle would rattle really loud. It sounded like a machine gun. So he just enjoyed annoying everybody. But he was inquisitive. And when I sat down to eat, I sat down with all the 14-year-old boys. I just, 12 and 14-year-old boys. And the youngest one of all looked like the oldest one. He had was growing a mustache already, and he was really calm. And this guy, I was just chatting with them, like, you know, what are you guys into? What's interesting in your life? And he said, I'm really interested in anatomy. And I thought, well,
okay, why? He said, it's just so fascinating how the body works. This guy, he was brought up in devotee family, and he was just saying, it's just such a wonderful machine that Krishna has designed. And so kind of as a joke, I asked, yeah, there's a lot of processes going on in the body. How many processes are going on in the human body all at one time? He said, nobody knows. He said, just one organ, the liver, they don't even know how many things the liver does. They said, the Johns Hopkins University, they did a study, and they said there's over 500 functions that the liver does. But it's doing more things than that. They still don't even know all of the things that the liver does. And so this is the kind of stuff that Lord Brahma is designing. Well, Krishna gives Brahma the seeds. Brahma, later on, it's going to be described how Brahma is kind of like a gardener. So even a gardener does a really good job. It's a lot of hard work. And there's some creativity and artistic sense when you're gardening, and Brahma does this whole creation, and the devotees still criticize him for making eyelids that blink. That's going to be coming up later on. But the human body, so here's this, I don't know, maybe 13-year-old boy, and he's just curious, how does the body work? And he's studying about Krishna from the what do you call the descending? Aroha, avaroha. Aroha is ascending. Avaroha is descending, is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So avaroha panta is the descending process where we hear Brahma speaking, we're hearing from an authority, a recognized authority. This would be the samvad, the perfect way of understanding things. It's coming down from a clear authority. Aroha is ascending, where we're looking at the body, we're consulting the Johns Hopkins University, how many functions does the liver do, and we're studying that, and that's fascinating. And if you, the Aroha Panta, you'll never reach the Supreme. You can get pretty far, and it helps you understand, helps appreciate what's going on here. So we kind of take a little bit of both. And I thought, I don't know where that kid is now, what he's doing, but I would like to meet him now. That was like 5 years ago, so where he's 18, probably in college now. Super genius, brilliant, pure devotee. Then when I was in Phoenix, Arizona, about 5 years ago, this family was traveling from Oregon, visiting the temple. They recognized me from when I visited briefly the Oregon temple. And their two little boys were being homeschooled on a field trip. They came all the way down to an observatory in Phoenix because they were so inspired by Sataputta, and they're interested in cosmology. They wanted to study, and so they're getting into they're studying planets, and they wanted to, on a field trip, they drove from Oregon to Phoenix to go look in a telescope. So they're really inquisitive, and they're also inquisitive about the Bhagavatam. So in youth, people can get annoying, like the kid with the clarinet case making noise, but even that kid has calmed down. I've seen him a couple years later. He's doing good. I know you guys are worried about him. And here, let's see. And coming with questions, and what's the verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Vidya, Vinaya, Sampani, Brahmani, Gavi, Hastini. So, Shuni Chaiva, Swapakecha, Pandita, Samadarshana. So it's one of the prerequisites to becoming a pandit, is you approach people with Vinaya. So Vinaya means, well, Vidya, Vinaya, Sampani. So well-equipped, Prabhupada translates it as, well-equipped with knowledge and Vinaya. Vinaya means gentleness, humility, what else does it mean?
Soumya.
Somya, Vinaya, okay. Same thing. You got anything more to add to that, Panditji? Okay. He's practicing Vinaya. So, two words. He's addressed as Vatsa, Somya, and now I'm supposed to speak on the next verse too?
Yes.
I think I am. Yeah, okay. So, text 10, here we go. Wow, we're running out of time.
13 seconds.
Here we go. How long are we supposed to go till? 9?
Tomorrow. You get to a quarter of, or 9 is really.
Oh, okay. All right. Really, you want to save this one for tomorrow? I mean, I don't mind.
No, you can mess up the whole schedule. You can't do that. It's your purpose. You've got to do it.
It's a long purport. I'd hate to rush through it. It's about the frog in the well. We'll zip through it. Is that okay? Or other questions?
Stop. Oh, you have to go 9. Everyone, they all go to 9.
Translation.
Okay. Namrita Dabatach Chapi. I'll just reset it. Yatamam Pravavishibho. There's that word, ho. Okay. Whatever you have spoken about me is not false, because unless and until one is aware of the personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate truth beyond me, one is sure to be illusioned by observing my powerful activities. I'll read it again. Whatever you have spoken about me is not false, because unless and until one is aware of the personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate truth beyond me, one is sure to be illusioned by observing my powerful activities. Purport: the frog in the well logic illustrates that a frog residing in the atmosphere and boundary of a well cannot imagine the length and breadth of the gigantic ocean. Such a frog, when informed of the gigantic length and breadth of the ocean, first of all, does not believe that there is such an ocean, and if someone assures him that factually there is such a thing, the frog then begins to measure it by imagination by means of pumping its belly as far as possible, with the result that the tiny abdomen of the frog bursts and the poor frog dies without any experience of the actual ocean. Similarly, the material scientists also want to challenge the inconceivable potency of the Lord by measuring him with their frog-like brains and their scientific achievements. But at the end, they simply die unsuccessfully, like the frog. Sometimes a materially powerful man is accepted as God or the incarnation of God without any knowledge of the factual God. Such a material assessment may be gradually extended, and the attempt may reach to the highest limit of Brahmaji, who is the topmost living being within the universe and has a duration of life unimaginable to the material scientist. As we get information from the most authentic book of knowledge, the Bhagavad Gita, 8:17, Brahmaji's one day and night is calculated to be some hundreds of thousands of years on our planet. This long duration of life may not be believed by the frog in the well, but persons who have realization of the truths mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita accept the existence of a great personality who creates the variegatedness of the complete universe. It is understood from the revealed scriptures that the Brahmaji of this universe is younger than all the other Brahmas in charge of the many, many universes beyond this, but none of them can be equal to the personality of Godhead. Naradaji is one of the liberated souls, and after his liberation, he was known as Narada. Otherwise, before his liberation, he was simply a son of a maidservant. Questions may be asked why Naradaji was not aware of the Supreme Lord, and why he misconceived Brahmaji to be the Supreme Lord, although factually he was not. A liberated soul is never bewildered by such a mistaken idea. So why did Naradaji ask all those questions just like an ordinary man with a poor fund of knowledge? There was such bewilderment in Arjuna also, although he is eternally the associate of the Lord. Such bewilderment in Arjuna or in Narada takes place by the will of the Lord, so that other non-liberated persons may realize the real truth and knowledge of the Lord. The doubt arising in the mind of Narada about Brahmaji's becoming all-powerful is a lesson for the frogs in the well, that they may not be bewildered in misconceiving the identity of the personality of Godhead, even by comparison to a personality like Brahma. So what to speak of ordinary men who falsely pose themselves as God or an incarnation of God? The Supreme Lord is always the Supreme, and as we have tried to establish many times in these purports, no living being up to the standard of Brahma can claim to be one with the Lord. One should not be misled when people worship a great man as God after his death as a matter of hero worship. There were many kings like Lord Ramachandra, the king of Ayodhya, but none of them are mentioned as God in the revealed scriptures. To be a good king is not necessarily the qualification for being Lord Ram, but to be a great personality like Krishna is the qualification for being the personality of Godhead. If we scrutinize the characters who took part in the Battle of Kurukshetra, we may find that Maharaj Yudhishthira was no less a pious king than Lord Ramachandra. And by character study, Maharaj Yudhishthira was a better moralist than Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna asked Maharaj Yudhishthira to lie, but Maharaj Yudhishthira protested. But that does not mean that Maharaj Yudhishthira could be equal to Lord Ramachandra or Lord Krishna. The great authorities have estimated Maharaj Yudhishthira to be a pious man, but they have accepted Lord Ram or Krishna as the personality of Godhead. The Lord is therefore a different identity in all circumstances, and no idea of anthropomorphism can be applied to him. The Lord is always the Lord, and a common living being can never be equal to him. I'll read the verse again. Whatever you have spoken about me is not false, because unless and until one is aware of the personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate truth beyond me, one is sure to be illusion by observing my powerful activities. So are there questions? I got a couple things I could say about this, but yes.
Thank you for your thoughtful class, thought-provoking. Yes, I just have a comment regarding your statement about putting oneself, the missionary spirit is to put yourself in a position to induce others to ask questions. I remember Vaisheshika Prabhu would recommend for those devotees who haven't been out on Sankirtan distributing books in years, maybe, or something, they feel cold, you know. Just put yourself out on the corner with a box of books next to you. Don't say anything, don't do anything, don't talk to anybody. Just stand there. And sure enough, in time, someone will come up. Because you've placed yourself as an instrument in Krishna, you know, for Krishna to. But that was clever.
Yeah.
In line with your point. Thank you.
I have experience of that in the Miami airport. Oh boy, that was like 35 years ago. We were distributing books, but I'm not used to airports. I'm more like outdoors, and I just never really felt comfortable in there. And so I was just kind of standing there watching this other devotee distribute books. And so he was busy, and then someone walked up to me and asked, what is that book you're holding? And he ended up buying a book from me, and another devotee walked up and said, wow, you got some shakti. People just walk up to you. And I said, no, I don't have the shakti. That's why I'm too shy. But yeah, just have to get yourself out there somehow.
I remember a pastime of Harikesh Maharaj with Prabhupada discussion. After Prabhupada's class over, Harikesh Maharaj was glorifying Prabhupada. Oh, you gave such a nice class. Prabhupada says, I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember exact sentence, but it was very intuitive to me. Prabhupada said, that's nice you glorify your guru, but anybody can do that in the temple. The real glory of your guru will be when you face public, try to establish your guru's glorious position there, in their heart. That is the real glory. Mm-hmm. I was contemplating, I'm still contemplating, very subtle thing Prabhupada mentioned. The question, because you are nicely talking about the inquisitiveness, question also gives an idea where that person is, what that person needs, what person's absorption, what that person's thought, and can literally, because when someone asks question, you can see where that person coming from. And you gave a very nice example of young man that in your life ask those questions, anatomy, and another example of astrophysics or something.
Astronomy.
Yeah. So those are very nice. And I was thinking, like, Bhagavad Gita began with question. First sloka is a question. There are 16 questions asked by Arjuna. Krishna gave 574 sloka to answer it. These 700 verses, we put a graphic like it. It's all question answer, question answer, question answer. All the Bhagavatam began with 6 questions. So I appreciate that you're emphasizing that, because, but my key point on that, I think it's 1.2.5. Munayo sadhu pristaham bhavad biloka mangalam. Jat krita krishna samprasna jayatma suprasiddhati. Question should be in relation to Krishna. Then it will benefit the person who asks, person who answers, because it pleases the Lord. And your question is welcome. That's how Suta Goswami addressed Munayo sadhu pristaham. Very nice. So I appreciate this question idea.
Thank you.
Audience also get benefited.
Yes, three people. Three people. The person asking the question, the person answering, and the people. Yeah. So even if someone asks a question that doesn't have anything to do with Krishna, if you can take it and somebody asks, what time is it? Well, you can just ask, well, what is time? You could answer them just so you're not annoying, but then you could get into the whole thing. Well, what is time? Why are things sequential? And how does that come about? What are the limitations? And so, okay.
Thank you for your classroom. It's very inspiring. You know, we have ideal situation here in the temple room, asking questions. We all know Krishna. When we go out and preach, people are not asking us questions. We're going up to them. And not only do we have to introduce Krishna, but we have to perk their interest. And sometimes Prabhupada said, what your 2 minutes preaching will do, give them a book. But to give them a book, sometimes you have to have their interest. Sometimes we find ourselves, or myself, preaching many sub-religion principles. One time I went up to this couple, I was preaching, and they were fighting, so, they were screaming and hollering, so I just started to leave, and I said, Why are you always fighting so much? You go, he doesn't like what I do, blah, 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 blah. And I said, you should put God in the center of your life. And they both stopped. And I said, when you put God, you have something common, you can talk about. And so I just said that and I walk away. And then it was 2 years later, I was out, and the person said, that's her. And I said, I went up and I said, you know me? And she said, you don't remember? You told us we should put God in our life. It changed our entire life. Mm. And it was a chance to give them a book. So sometimes when we preach, we don't see the results, and sometimes we think we're not successful. And but I find that if I depend upon Krishna, you say something, and because you're not waiting for the results, if you do it and you're happy to do that, so many things happen. And, you see that all the time, sometimes like you said when you first came to the temple, you can't remember or you didn't see the deities. Many devotees said they don't remember seeing the deities or stuff. But it's the purification that starts, It goes on so many different levels. And so we may not see the effect of those words. I remember things that devotees said to me years ago when I first joined. I didn't remember then, but as I get purified, I can say, oh, I remember some, you know, what she was trying to say. So the amazing thing about preaching is it goes on so many different levels which we don't see. But if we have faith in Krishna that this is going on and we're happy to do it, and we take risk for him, amazing things happen. It's just incredible, you know. You see it and you feel it. You can feel in your heart, mm-hmm. you know. One time I was at the airport, this stranger came down to me and he just grabbed my hand and said, what's life all about? I mean, perfect opportunity to preach, you know. He ended up taking 3 books. He was having a hard time and you just saw me and I said I was blissful. But so many things happen when you just take a little risk of Krishna. Preaching is such a wonderful opportunity for our growth and for other people. It's an amazing thing. It's just all at level of aspect. So,
a lot of Shakti flowing through you. Yeah, it comes in and you just take it and pass it along. And if you don't hold on to it, you just give it out, then it grows. Anandam Buddhivardhanam. Thank you. So, oh, and I got to quote Charlie Krishna this morning. He said, Krishna curiosity brings about Krishna consciousness. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada.